Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's start with prayer. Father, we are honored to be your children. Oh, Lord, we are highly honored to be vessels of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are tremendously favored to be the objects of your affections. And Lord, we are, I'm running out of words, but Lord, we are tremendously, tremendously honored, Lord, to be privileged to be used of you. And being able to enter into worship with the Creator of the universe. Lord, today and in this place, no matter how tired we are, perhaps an hour of sleep depravity. That's like depravity. Lord, help me with my language. But Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you'll restore and strengthen the body of Christ. Wherever it is, we pray for Pastor Dan in the church in Pembroke as he ministers there. That, Lord, heaven would come down and glory would fill them there, as well as here in this place today. Lord, we give you praise today and expect great things because we have a great God who has promised us great things. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to sing this old hymn. I put a bit of a twist on the last verse, if you're not familiar with it. But he is holy. Let's remind the church of his holiness as we approach him.
God in Christ.
God in Christ Jesus, blessed unity.
This week is a special celebration we're going to be having here at the church. We're having an evangelist. On Saturday. Now, Saturday is St. Patrick's Day. We're having an evangelist at night. The Redners are coming, and we're going to experience the power of God here. We want you. We need you. You need you to go and invite somebody to come to that meeting. He will, and she will, be continuing over till Sunday morning, so we'll also have them here Sunday morning. But Saturday night is always a special time to kick up our heels and just to kind of let God be God. We should do it all the time. I understand that, people. But there is a special time on Saturday night where you're not restricted to lunch and other things, where you can just take the time to seek God. And so they will be here. They have the prophetic gift, and signs and wonders do follow in their ministry. So I encourage you that if there's needs to come, and come believing. But St. Patrick was a great man of God. He was real. All right, so it's not about leprechauns and green beer, just in case that's what you think. It's about a man of God. I got my shamrocks on. A man of God who came to Ireland from England and went and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with prophetic words and with signs and wonders and miracles that took place. And so I'm just so blessed. He drove the snakes out of Ireland. That may be more mythology than the miracle, but there were many things that are accounted to him, but there are many real miracles, and that may be one or not, I'm not sure. Certainly he drove spiritually the snakes out of Ireland because the Druid religion and the heathen religions fell like dominoes at his preaching, and like no other nation in history. The gospel went through, and they went from paganism to Christianity in one generation. One generation. And so when you see that happening, you say, Lord, can you do that again to our nation and bring it and turn it around? Raise up a voice. Raise up a voice, Lord. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the first 8 verses. Then we'll read another scripture after that. For we know, isn't it good to know? For we know. I don't know if everybody knew when Paul said we know, but Paul sure knew. And he was drawing them into his faith. Sometimes we make statements, we believe, but we're not all really believing, but we declare it. And Paul says, for we know that if this earthly tent, some versions this earthly house, this other versions this tabernacle, which is actually the meaning in the Greek, which is our house, is torn down, is destroyed or crumbles, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this one, we groan. Like when you got up this morning and had one less hour. Oh, I heard my wife at 6 o'clock going, oh. It's true. It's the truth. You know, this old tent starts to groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tabernacle, depending on your version, this tent, do groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Verse 6. For we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, this tabernacle, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7, I want to continue on. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are of good courage, I say then, and prefer rather to be absent from the body, the tent, the tabernacle, and to be at home with the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the precious promises, Lord, that it gives us. Thank you, Father God, that your word has never failed us, Lord, and your word is that which keeps us on the pathway of truth. Lord, it is not just the light upon our path, as the scripture says, but Lord, it is the path. Lord, it provides everything. Lord, we thank you, O God, that you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. And we declare and call upon that same Spirit today to inspire us, O God, and to reveal to us the precious truths of thy holy word, Lord, that we may apply them, that we may be encouraged, and that we may live, Lord, according to your will. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to another scripture, which is 2 Peter chapter 1. I have it up also on the screen there. It says this, just continuing on with the same theme. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle. Again, not only Paul, but also Brother Peter have the same kind of thinking. They refer to this body, this temporary vessel, as the tabernacle. We've been going a series about the temple, about cleansing the temple. And we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we identified that this, we are the body, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, both collectively as a church and individually as a believer. We are the temple, we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. And he says this, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly. I speak in King James when I read it, because I think of that cometh quickly. How that Peter said it in the King James, or he didn't say it in King James, although some of my ancestors believe that they did speak in King James. But it cometh quickly. He's saying, you know, that, you know, and when you're older and when you're like Peter and you're maybe at the end of the things, you look back and you say, man, it's just been so quick. Time has really just accelerated. When you were young, it was, I'll never get there. I'll never get there. I'll never get there. When am I going to be 16? When am I going to be able to drive a car? When am I going to be able to vote conservative in the next election? That was my, you know. When will I be able to do it? When will I get to college? When will I get to be able to get married? When will it come? And then there comes a point in your time, where did it all go? How did I get here so quickly? Peter says it just cometh quickly. This dissolving of this tabernacle is just so quick when it comes, even as our Lord Jesus Christ signified unto me. In other words, he said it would be such. This old tent. I'm not a big camping fan, children. I'm not one that did much of pitching of my tent. Not that I don't enjoy the outdoors, not that I don't enjoy God's creation, it's just that when you lived in the bush, it was always funny to watch people come from the city to come out there and pitch their tent. You could just walk out there any day. Why would you have to pitch a tent to do it? So it seems kind of strange. But there are times where we are very much in a temporary situation. In the ministry sometimes, I know that when we were in McAdam, New Brunswick, how many times did we move in the one village? Anyways, you know, from one, we didn't have a parsonage, so it was just moving from one rented place to another and having to
move around, and it just seems everything was so temporary. Well, the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, and of course this is where the term tabernacle comes back to, is that they were in a nomadic experience for over 40 years. In fact, even God dwelt in a temporary place. He dwelt amongst his people, but he dwelt in the tabernacle which, and in the Holy of Holies, and of course inside of the inside of the inside was the Ark of the Covenant. And this old tent that he had, that God had, that lived in, was called the tabernacle. In those days, the presence of the Lord was in the midst of the tabernacle, dwelling in the Holy of Holies, and when it came time to move, everybody would pack up their cattle and their chattel and their children, and they would bring down their tents and they would be on the move. But so too was the tabernacle on the move. So the priests would have to take down piece by piece, instrument by instrument, holy article by holy article, and have it set up in a certain way so that it would be on the move as well. Literally, God was on the move amongst his people. Moses made it very clear with God at one point. He said, listen, we ain't going if you don't go. And that should be the Christian's motto today. We're not going unless God's going with us. Just not worth it. It's just not worth it. But in this text of Scripture, we have two principles that are applied. First of all is the groaning, and then there is the guarantee. First of all, the groaning. This old tent. The old tent of the tabernacle was a precious thing. I said it contained the presence of God, but guess what? Now in the new covenant, here's the tabernacle here. Here's the temporary dwelling place of God. Here is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Here we are here today. And we pitch our tents, we pitch our tabernacles, whether it's the old-fashioned camp meeting that I love to go to, which of course is the in the camp meeting summer campgrounds is the temporary tabernacle, the place of gathering, the place of revival meeting. But now we have this in earthen vessels. Now we have this privilege of these tabernacles, these individual containers of God. Yes, they will succumb to the effects of sin in this world, and yes, they will die. They will fail us at times. But think of the benefits of it. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, you had access to God through a complicated system of entry through certain doors and certain levels and certain opportunities. On certain days, you could enter and access the presence of God. And now what has he done? But he has said, now we have these tabernacles and we have direct access to the presence of God. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we have an open heaven opportunity because Jesus has paid the way for us. Access to the Father, access to the throne of God. Now we can come boldly. Any saint, any believer in Jesus Christ can come boldly before the throne of God's grace. Well, what's a good deal, children? Yes, they are temporary tabernacles, and yes, someday they'll have to pack them up and move them. But in this temporary tabernacle we have the opportunity to experience love like never before, power like never before, miracles like never before, because the tabernacle of God is a place of the miraculous. He wants us to live a full life. A full life in his presence, a full life in his power, a full life in obedience to the things that he has called us to do. And to see the divine prophetic potential that living in this tabernacle can have when God is with you. You see, we live in this unique balance where we have this reality of the frailty of the vessels that we live in, these bodies of ours, in case you haven't picked up on what it is. There's a frailty to it. If you doubt that, I'll come down and kick you in the shin. You'll notice the I'm a nonviolent man, but, you know, it's frail. Ow! It hurts. Some of you have went through some colds and flu and whatnot in the last few weeks and have not been able to be part of the fellowship of the saints here. And it just fails us at times. There is a frailty to it. But then there's this divine, wonderful opportunity that God has given us that He says, listen, I'm going to put my spirit in there. It's going to be a temporary vessel. Yes, we understand the frailty of it. Yes, we understand the complications of it. I mean, if you look into the tabernacle of the wilderness, there were certain layers of certain skins of certainness upon the old tent that had to be a certain way and everything, and it had to be done a certain way and put up a certain way and taken down a certain way. It was a complicated thing, and our bodies are a complicated thing. You know, we're complicated vessels. But we have wonderful opportunity. This life is a wonderful gift. Amen? Anybody there? And although there may be frailties and there all may be obstacles in this particular life, and you say, Lord, why did you make us this? Well, we're not allowed to ask that because Romans says, don't ask the Creator. How does the pot ask the potter, why did you make me like this? There's a purpose to the way we're made. There's a reason for the way we are. And in this frail vessel, we have this great opportunity to be children of the living God and to host the Holy Spirit of God within it. It's a miracle. It's amazing. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. I don't have it on the PowerPoint, so if you want to turn to it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, so we do not lose heart. Here's an important principle. You actually should turn there. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. So we do not lose heart. Why? What's eating you? What's bothering you? What would cause you to lose heart, get discouraged, get depressed, get down? Well, it says this. We do not lose heart, though our outer man is wasting away. It's the way it is. Though our outer man is wasting away, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's why, again, Paul says, not by sight, it's by faith. What you see of me is not all of me, not even it is the tip of the iceberg. But the inner man is being renewed day by day for this light and momentary affliction. Read some of the stuff that Paul went through. He was stoned, left for dead. He was shipwrecked several times. He was abandoned. Several times he had lashings. He was thrown in prison many times. He went through hunger and he went through all kinds of things. And he says, for this light and momentary affliction. He sums up his experience in this tabernacle as a light and momentary affliction. Is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Yes, this tent, the first principle is the groaning. Yes, this tent is a vessel that is temporary. It is a vessel that groans. It is a vessel that suffers because of the effects of sin in this world, to which Jesus, yes, I understand, has paid for. And yes, He has another body, which we'll talk about for us. But in this wonderful opportunity is a tent to experience the power of God. My wife had a wonderful vision of the old tent meeting. And the old tent meeting, the old tabernacle, the way God, the way we want to experience God in this church and is like a tabernacle, a tent meeting. And in that tent meeting, those vessels that were there gathered, they said, can you come up here and tell it? Talk to the mic.
2016, December 18th, I had a vision dream. And I was in a huge tent. It was quite big. And as I entered, I could feel the canopy above me, and people were filing in. And I took a seat. And the congregation started into this glorious praise, but it was so pure, it was so holy. There was such unity that I just got lost in the worship of the Lord, and I was just closing my eyes. I was thanking God, and I was saying, Lord, it's so beautiful. You're so beautiful, so holy. And it was just like everyone was singing, but it was like one voice, one sound that was going up like an offering. And as I just closed my eyes, and I was just thanking the Lord and praising him, saying, God, you're so good. It was within that instant that I was just completely taken away out of that camp meeting. Just as the Bible says, being snatched away. It was a real forceful snatching away, a very, it happened so fast. It was beyond any speed that you could ever imagine. I was blindsided by it, and in an instant I was taken from this realm here into another realm so fast, and I knew in that instant that I would never see the earth again. And as I was going, I was going at such an incredible speed. All I could hear were the wings. Their incredible sound is, and I knew I was being carried. I had all my senses, but I could hear, I could feel the force of this angelic being taking me into the spirit realm, into the heavens. And I woke up. And I was in such a state, because of the speed was so intense, I was hanging on to Bruce, and I was saying, Bruce, please wake up. And I said, the speed was so fast, and that's all I could say was the speed. And I was trying to transition in my bed from what I'd just gone through. And it really is, literally,
In an instant. Twinkling of an eye.
In a twinkling of an eye, I didn't even see it coming. I went from out here to somewhere else. And I was just, it really changed me. So, anyway, Lord bless you.
From one tabernacle, one tent, one temporary place, God has a promise of greater things. But we can have experienced great things here. In this old tabernacle, in this camp meeting, I pray that my tent is like a camp meeting all the time with shouts of glory, hallelujah. Praise be to God, but he does have a lot more for us. We have an earthly perspective where everything is changing, but we have a heavenly perspective where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then there's the guarantee. The other obvious truth is that God has a more permanent place. And in this text of Scripture, in the earlier text of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, he says this in verse 5, and now he has prepared for us this very thing as God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Brother Abraham was a wanderer, a nomad. The children of Israel wandered, but even Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He looked for a permanent dwelling place. I have a down payment on heaven. I have a down payment on the resurrection. And that is the Spirit of the living God. The Father's estate. The Son has made a deal. And he has given the guarantee, a down payment. It's interesting I say that because yesterday I was dealing with farmers to rent the estate, the land, my father's land. And here I am, the son, doing business on the father's estate and asking for a guarantee, a down payment. It's the same similar thing with dealing with Almighty God. Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, listen, in my Father's house, I am dealing with my Father's house. There is much room, there is much place, there is much land, there is much room for you. And he says, I'm going to go and I'm preparing a place for you. He's the one. It's through Jesus that we come to the Father. Nobody comes to the Father except through the Son. Nobody can rent my Father's land unless I get my signature. Nobody can take anything off that property without my signature, as I'm the executor. Nobody can do anything with my Father's house without my signature. And it's the same with Jesus and his Heavenly Father. But he has given us the guarantee that the deal is made, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. We have this Spirit as a down payment, as a guarantee. A guarantee God gives us that even though this temporary dwelling place will perish, we have a permanent residence in heaven with the Father. You know, Paul was a tent maker. He understood the temporary nature of things, and he even built tents for people. And so when he's there, and it's this temporary dwelling place, but you know, his eyes were focused, and our eyes were focused on the eternal things. You know, a tent can be a fun thing. It can be fun going camping. But when there's a storm, it's kind of a scary place. You've all been through many storms, amen? And you said, I don't know how I'm going to make it through. I don't know how these tent pegs of my poor, weak existence are going to carry through this next storm. But you find out that in the morning you made it through the next storm. There are storms, however, that pull your tent pegs right out. And you get gathered around and you have to do a lot of pounding back in, a lot of cleaning up, a lot of collecting of things. But then there's sometimes the storm that just blows the thing down and gone. And he sees us through all of those storms. But fear not, because he has guaranteed us by his Spirit an eternal home. Oh, glory. Isn't that wonderful, friends? You know, how do you know you have that? Because if you have the Spirit of God within you, then you have the guarantee that God has saved you, that you're born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. I'm glad that I have a guarantee. I told the kids at the drop-in center on Friday night when we gathered around to do our devotion time there, and I mentioned, no, I don't know my Father's spiritual. You know, there's always the chance my wife has a word from the Lord. So word from the Lord, she believes the Lord gave her some assurance that my Father is in heaven. I don't have that assurance, but I am glad that there is something stirring in the Spirit. But I told them, those kids, I said, you know, I buried my father on Tuesday, and I said, I don't know if I'll ever see him again. But I want to see you guys again. I may never see him again. When I saw him, didn't think it was going to be the last time, didn't realize that he was going to collapse and drop dead. But I want to see you guys again. I want you to have the assurance. I want you to make it to heaven. And I want each and every one of you under the sound of my voice to make it today. God will give you his Spirit as a guarantee. I have a guarantee. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that in the time of need, you are always there. In the storms that we're not sure if this tent's going to make it. Oh, glory. Somehow the daylight comes and we made it. We give you praise for those times. But Lord, we understand that there's a day coming when this old tent will be folded away for the last time. And I just pray for each individual that's here under the sound of my voice that they have a guarantee, that they have a deal with the Son for the Father's estate. and that there's been a deposit of the Holy Spirit in their lives because they've repented of their sins, they've accepted Jesus as their Savior, and they're walking in the light. I pray for each one here today that that is absolutely true. And if not, would you come to Jesus today? Would you accept Him as your Savior? Would you get that deposit, that guarantee of the next to come? Father, I just pray for each one today. That, Lord, not only that, but they would go out there from this place in a commissioning sense. I say today that they would go out from here and that they, Father God, would encourage and compel others to come into your kingdom, that we might see them again. In Jesus' name, amen. Bonnie's going to play something or sing something. I have no hymn, but
this is a song that I had in my heart when the pastor asked me first, but I couldn't remember the first verse, but it came to me as he was speaking, so I'd like to share it with you this morning. To be in His presence forever, to be free from pain and tears, to be at rest from war and trouble, and never bother counting years, to be secure from every danger, to fight with sin no more.
No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more separations. That alone itself is a wonderful thing. You know, this world, things like, well, they get taken away from us. You know, you buy a new car. My son just bought a nice car, and sliding down through Camp Iowa where he lives and slid off the road and smashed into a tree and broke the car up. You kind of go, oh, man. You know, you just, that nice car, you get it all shined up and you want to wash it. And all of a sudden, it's just smashed. The Bible says where we put our treasure, there our heart will be. So if we treasure these things, and sometimes God has to take them out of our lives so that we'll realize they're really nothing. You know, we got our living room and our apartment all nicely fixed up, and we were so excited, nice new floor. And then I woke up one morning in the dark, sitting down with my coffee, and sploosh, sploosh, sploosh. Water all over the floor. So there we are. Insurance company says, you're on your own. We're in there ripping everything out. The drywall's ripped out. The floors and everything's just a big mess. And you think, you know what? This stuff is just, it's just stuff. Just stuff. What are you putting your treasure in here? Is it your bank account? Whoa, boy. That can be just gone like that. Is it our youth and our strength? Is it all these things that we put our dependence on? We can't depend on our health. We can't even depend on what's going to happen tomorrow. Relationships. You know, I love that woman probably more than anyone else in this entire world. You know, we went into the doctor there and you got a lump on your breast. And you're going to have to go and get it analyzed. You're going to have to take a biopsy. And you're sitting in that little white room there. And you know, here's the results. Wondering what's it going to be. You know, those, just like that, life changes. If you were to walk out this road here and drive out on that highway and a transport run into you and you're dead, just like that, boom! Well, you hear about that on the way home from church on Sunday morning? They're gone. Well, I just can't believe it. It can happen that fast. We think we have tomorrow. Where do you stand this morning in your life? Trust that you have a hope of heaven. And you're sure of that heaven. These things are written that you may know. You've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're depending on Him and trusting in Him. Not in, well, I hope I'm good enough. I I've done a lot of good things. No, that you can know. Let's pray. And if you're not sure here this morning, there's a crack of doubt in your heart, in your life this morning. And you want to come and pray and say, you know, I just really want to make sure this morning. And when I walk out of this place, whatever. And you know, maybe there's people here this morning, and I know there is people this morning. You know, loved ones that are not ready. Boy, oh boy, that's a heartache. Maybe you want to come and just lay them before the altar one more time. And then we could pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your promises that are sure. And that we can stand on. And we don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't have to be, if this world was to come to the end, we can stand there and say, Lord, I'm ready. As John the Apostle wrote in the Revelation, with that great assurance, he said, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. We know that we can be ready. And so, Lord, maybe there's someone here this morning and they're not sure of that. They would say, Lord, this morning, this right now, I make that decision to find out, to be assured, to confess you, to repent of my sins, to turn to you, and that my name would be written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And when I stand before you and that angel opens that book and says, his name, her name is here. Enter into the joy that I've prepared for them. Oh, what a joy. As that song says, I can only imagine what it'll be like when I see Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor. Pray you minister to their family and these times, Lord. And pray, Lord, there's others here this morning that they would know the assurance of your love. And when we've gone through trials, Lord, and those trials try us and sometimes strip us of what we have a hope in this world, Lord, oh, that we would look to you and say, my hope is built on nothing less, oh, but you and your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.